Hello, and welcome to the new Pedagodzilla On Tour podcast feed. You join us now for our mini-series, recorded at Playful Learning 2023, on fabulous formative failures and the Danish movement Pissedaleg Undervisning, or Piss Poor Teaching. If you want to listen to our other content of understanding pedagogic theories through the lens of pop culture, then head on over to pedagodzilla.com, where you can find our entire back catalogue of episodes and subscribe to this and our main podcast feed. And over now to Playful Learning 2023 and our discussions on fabulous formative failures and piss poor teaching.
Shall I start? I feel like I should start.
Yeah,
okay, so you fancy a fabulous formative failure then?
I think a fabulous, one of those.
Okay, cool. And here they come. It's Pedagodzilla at Playful Learning. I love this button so much, Mark. Hello and welcome to Pedagodzilla, the pedagogic podcast with the pop culture core here live and on location at the Playful Learning Conference 2023. I am your host, Mike Collins, senior learning designer at the Open University, imposter syndrome incarnate and a man with a microphone. I am joined as ever by my capable co-host.
I'm Mark Childs, senior learning designer at Durham University. Playful, aren't we? We're sort of playful.
Yep.
Yeah.
And across the table, we are joined by special guest
Nick Whitten from Durham University.
So, Nick joined us. If you're listening to this mini series, way at the beginning to introduce the concept of failure within playful learning. And now we're going to actually introduce the meat of it. So, at this conference, we are having a mini festival of failure where we discuss fabulous formative fucks, fluff ups, and failures and what we can draw from them to improve learning and teaching. So, Nick, just for people who haven't come across you before, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so I'm at Durham University. I work with Mark, and I am currently, the director of the Durham Centre for Academic Development, which has been good fun. I've done that for 5 years, and I'm about to move on to Northumbria University to be a professor of digital learning and play. And get back to research.
Exciting.
And messing around. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And I would say, what brings you to Playful Learning? Except you made it!
Well, do you know what? This is my first year not chairing it, and it's so much better. You've got to go to stuff, and there's all this amazing stuff going on that I've never been able to. So, it's fantastic. It's even better.
Yeah, Nick has been walking around like the cat who's got the cream for like the last 2 days, just a smile permanently glued on.
Because I remember you saying last time when we spoke to you that you'd never actually been to a session because you're just too busy during the...
I went to more sessions yesterday than I have been in 5 years previously.
Wow.
And it's great. Although I am giving a session this afternoon, and to be fair, I think the phrase cheating myself because I've never actually done that. And I was saying to somebody this morning, oh my God, I've got to prepare something. Not actually occurred to me. I might have to write some slides and do all the actual stuff. And it's also not very playful. I shouldn't say that if this is going out before the session, it's brilliantly playful.
I was planning on going, but I'm not saying.
Oh, preparation is overrated.
But you'll get deep insights about yourself. Oh. And they're always good.
Well, sold. I mean, I'm going along to it. We've got that, and then I'm doing Chris and Jane's theme tune for Playful Learning.
Yeah. 11
as well.
What's not to love?
Well, after your tribute yesterday, I think going to be...
There's evidence
position.
On Twitter.
Excellent. I'll look at that after.
Oh, dear. So, can you please tell us about your specific fabulous formative failure?
I can. So, I will actually use this one when I'm talking as well, because I do talk a lot about failure. And part of it is I have so many, but this is, I think, the one that was most formative to me. And it makes me look a bit like a spoiled brat as well. So that's all good. Okay. So I failed my first year of university.
Oh.
And I failed. I did a degree in business management and I failed statistics, which I now teach statistics. And I'd done statistics at school and I managed to fail it. Because basically I came to university. I'm from Scotland. So the way the Scottish system works is you do your whatever you need for university in fifth year and then you have a year drinking. As part of the Scottish curriculum. So you come to university and you've not really done very much for the last year and you think you're wonderful because you were good at school and you go to university and suddenly it's actually quite hard. So I spent my first year drinking and doing studenty stuff, and I do remember at one point telling my tutor, who just said, look, you haven't been into any of these sessions, and I told him I had sleeping sickness, and at the time I genuinely thought he believed me.
Oh my God.
So I spent... And fortunately, because again, a lot of it was repeated, I did okay. I got kind of just passes with everything. But with maths and statistics, I went to see my tutor, and I'm pretty sure they wouldn't allow you to do this. But back in the day, he said, oh, well, actually, you got 40%, which was the pass rate. But we moved it down to 39. You were borderline because you needed to learn a lesson.
Wow.
What? Jeez.
So I had to come back in the summer and resit it and actually learn the stuff. But to be honest, if I hadn't done that, I would have spent the rest of my university career drinking and not doing any work. And that was a really good shock that I needed.
So they were right to say, actually, that was a good thing for
you. It was a really, really good thing. So thank you so much, Paul Miller. Really appreciate it.
Didn't for failing at the time. You.
Yeah, it was because they could see I was coasting. I would have kind of got through I would have passed doing pretty much nothing because that's how it works. Whereas actually, if I did some work, I'd do a bit better and get a bit more out of university.
So it was a transformative shock. I mean, what did you carry forward from it?
It took quite a lot of time afterwards till I realised what they'd done. Because I remember at the time going, why would you do that? You're just a dick. Why would you not just pass me? And he did actually say to me, you need to fail this. You need to learn that you can't just get away with behaving like this and doing nothing. And so, yeah. I kind of think, so this was 35 years ago, something like that. And when I think probably you could do that kind of thing. And, you know, it was... Whereas now, I don't think we can fail. It's so hard to fail students. And often, students just need to fail just to get that, oh, my God, it's not going to be that easy. And to learn that, actually, it's fine. Mm. And actually, the first year is a good time to do it because your first year marks don't count. So if you're going to fail students, do it then.
I see. That's so interesting. So, yeah, it's we're going back to this failing in a lower stakes way, but probably doesn't feel low stakes at all. Emotionally, it probably feels very high stakes. I mean, that must have been
I had to go back in August. I had to work over summer. I had a summer of drinking laid out.
There's a real theme here.
Scottish, what can I say? You know, it's part of our national curriculum.
So where would you say this kind of, I don't want to say like imposed failure, but almost like... almost like a medically induced failure, like a failure for the good of yourself. Where do you see that fitting into modern education? Do you see it fitting with modern education?
Well, I think there's something about, again, early, first year, giving students a chance to fail very, very quickly. So assessment early on. Certainly when I was at MMU, they were looking at things like assessing doing first assessment within the first 6 weeks. And so people that get into this idea of you're assessed, and yes, you can fail, but making sure the consequences are not terminal, so that if you fail in your first year, it doesn't matter for your final degree, but also knowing that actually you could be thrown out and that's an option. I don't know that is an option nowadays.
Yeah, I know we're super, I mean, at the OU, we're really, particularly for our level one students, we're really trying to kind of get them, because it's our proximal point of failure. There's so many, we lose so many students in that first year of study who drop entirely off the face of the map, but we're so keen to hold on to them. We're trying to put so much in place for it to mitigate against that, and it seems to be, it's such a...
I think there's a difference in, because you're going in and coasting because you're confident and all those sorts of things.
And lazy.
And lazy, fair. Yeah. Well, yeah. Mainly but lazy. But I'm careful what I say here. But I think a lot of students go in with the opposite problem. Well, you know what I said to in sort of talking to students, and it's like there's two ways you fail. One is too little self-doubt, and the other is too much.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that a low U students on the whole have had a bad experience of education. They haven't kind of gone through on that conveyor belt type thing. They gradually they've somehow managed to get the self-esteem back enough to get on board, and any failure at that point would just drive them off again.
And I think it's really important to think about it's not the failure that's important, it's the coming back from failure and how you support people to do that, because what you don't want to do is knock people's confidence.
No.
So it's knowing, so it's about you're expecting it, and if it happens, how you deal with it.
Yeah, and learning that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's really important.
So what would be your tip for educators who want to not just break people down, but build them back up again?
Yeah, so I think there will be some people who probably need that sort of shock. And again, I think people coming from different types of universities are different people. So I think it's preparing students for the fact that they can fail, and that failure, again, because I come back to the video game thing I was talking about the other day. Video games, you expect to fail because failing is part of what you do.
Yeah.
So thinking about it, I like the idea of iterative assessment, where you do a thing, you get some feedback on it, you do it again, and that's part of your whole assessment. And that's the idea of you're not going to get it right first time. So rather than you have an essay and then you have another essay, you do a draft of an essay, you get feedback or a small amount of marks on it, and then you submit it again. And so it's that idea of improving, because in the real world, you don't have that one shot 99% of the time. There's always a chance to go back, revise, resubmit again. And it's how we make that happen.
So it's the role of formative feedback in that. So what could have worked for you if they'd been doing formative feedback was fail you at a before that final thing. You would have then picked up maybe a bit more before the end of that year passed, and then actually been able to spend the summer drinking.
Well, I think if I'd my tutor, and to be fair, you know, they're busy people. If the point at which I'd said I had sleeping sickness, he went, no, you didn't. That's just wrong. Instead of just going,
oh, that's what we're calling hangovers these days, is it?
So actually, I think if I'd had a sterner talking to, because I really wasn't taking it seriously.
Yeah.
And I think, but nobody at any point had ever said, this is a serious thing, this is what's expected. There were no ground rules, no expectation. It was just, here's the things. And actually, if you didn't turn up, nobody really cared or noticed until later on in the year. So I think part of it was the not feeling seen.
All your absence not being recognised and all that sort of stuff.
Because the programme that I was on was really small. There was about 18 people, but it was kind of made up of bits of other programmes. So, you know, I was in an economics lecture with 200 people and a law lecture with, you know, 100. Yeah. So, but you never felt, and this is why the personal tutor was important, so actually it didn't feel that it mattered that you weren't there.
Yeah.
And I'm very against attendance monitoring and forcing students to do things, but I think the idea that individuals are seen and noticed and recognised is really, really important. And I think if you have that and you have that relationship, then you can have those hard conversations about, well, you're not pulling your weight here, you're not doing the thing, and this is what might happen. And if it does happen, that will be fine. But being aware of the consequences of what you do. And I don't think often, particularly in bigger universities, we have that time and space to build those relationships.
Well, it's because I think it's a scale thing, isn't it? Because the more scale you have, the more systems you have in place. And the more systems you have in place, the more you lose touch with the human aspect, which is knowing what your students are doing and also knowing where they are, and that you might have a student who actually is going to benefit from a little short shark shot to the system, but also knowing that another student who's maybe struggling might not benefit from that at all, and might actually need
more support.
Need a different type of support, which, you know, processes and rules and systems are often really bad at distinguishing the nuance in those things. You need that human connection.
I mean, the thing I take away from your story is that it's actually good sometimes to be a dick.
Is that me or my tutor?
Yeah, your tutor was being... Yeah, you said he was being a dick, you thought at the time.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, maybe he was, but actually that's not a bad thing sometimes. Yeah.
Tough love occasionally.
Yeah,
absolutely. But like I said, it doesn't work all the time. It's not a sort of blanket solution for everybody. Yeah. But certainly in some cases, people need to fail.
Know your tough lovers.
Indeed.
Solve all sorts of problems. Thanks so much, Nick, for joining us for this again. Do you have anything you want to plug? Where can people find you online?
I'm at Nick Whitten on Twitter. If this is going out before 3 o'clock today, my session is at 3. It's better than John Lean's. but I probably shouldn't say that.
I guess we'll add a postscript with a review at the end to tell you whether or not it was. So,
yeah.
Thanks so very, very much for joining us. We have been Pedagogzilla at the Playful Learning Conference, signing off. Oh, they love us.
Hours of fun.